Welcome to Software Universe On Call. I am Paul France, owner of France Games. I run SMB Online, Fed, Come Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just remember how to join us. We have a podcast every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us on the Starfleet Universe Online Discord server. Just join the SMB On Call stream voice channel. And there's an invite. If you want to find the Discord server, just go to the SFUOnCall.com website. There's a link right there, which is an invite to the server. And also, if you want to watch us live stream, you can go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFUOnCall and join the chat there. Of course, you need to contact me for any reason. My email address is SFUOnCall@gmail.com. It's SFUONCALL@gmail.com. Also, you can follow me on the Twitters. That's SFUOnCall. Also, my personal account is Paul Franz, and that's PaulFranz. There's no T in that. And also my business account, which is Franz Games, FranzGames. And of course, this lovely podcast gets the podcast available on iTunes, radio feeds around. And yes, I do have the Blue Sky accounts. Not much happened this past week because of the holiday. So, and Steve Cole hadn't posted much. This week, obviously, he's from the sounds of it, he is definitely running out of energy. He's been pushing it hard for a little bit too long, and it just got caught up to him. With that, I'm sure that hopefully they got the ship contracts done, for the 3D printed ships. And also, unfortunately, I had to tell you, which is that the sale that they're running for 12% off everything on the shopping cart is over. It ended on the 4th, which was 4 days ago. And this week on Found an Online Store, we have, of course, the basic set counter sheet. It's only $7.95. And this is, of course, the new die cut counter sheet for the basic set. It's 280 counters instead of the 216 with the older counter sheet. And this is not a rounded quarters one that were produced by laser cutting. That one is the premium one. This one, it's only $7.95. And if you don't have a physical copy of the rules, you didn't actually buy a physical copy, you can buy the actual copy of the rules and get, a counter sheet, so you actually can play, in real life, which is awesome. Of course, you can get a lot of the stuff online when it comes to the damage allocation chart, the impulse chart. I'm not sure about EAs, but if you want to, you can create your own EA. This that allow you to play actually real enough so you can buy a map anywhere. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to SFB Online tournaments. Currently, the Sapphire Store 20 tournament, we have currently 7 signups at the moment. I'm looking for more. We need only 9 more, and we will have a completed tournament. When it comes to 500 BPV tournament, that one's still going on strong. Moving onward, when it comes to the Starfleet Warlord one, both Die Hard 58 and 59 are going well. There were some issues with 59, and I think that has to do with the email that got sent out actually came from an origin which was from a cell phone network, basically. And that's because of I was out camping when I sent the email. So in that case, you didn't actually see it until I actually, so obviously, if you're in Die Hard 59 and listening to this, check, and you did not receive your turns, please check your spam folder, because that seems like where I think a few people actually found theirs. When it comes to standard game number 98, we still have some spots available for people to play. So this is going to be the last turn. So if you can get your initial build in by this week, early this week, as in before the next podcast, then you should be able to join. You just have to work hard to get all caught up. I'll be happy to work on getting it so that you can get caught up, but you need to also put in the effort on your side and realize that's going to happen if you do this. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to the library, there's not much progress there, though. I need to double check with Frank and with Matt, because we're going to switch to using my repo. And I didn't get the response back on my one question from Frank and Matt. I'm assuming it's going to be okay, because it's basically I got the dump from Frank, and that was over 200 changes. The 200 ships that actually changed in that big load dump, and I want to make sure it was okay before I uploaded this, because it kind of might change things a bit. I'm just hoping that anything that was updated is updated and it's in as part of it. But anyhow, with that is the news for this week. It's me, it's someone we all pal friends with, like you, Starfleet Universe on call. And tonight we have me, hi, and of course we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Okay, cool. Before I can start, okay, getting things all set up. When it comes to the podcast, got my iPad set up. All everything is good. Comes a topic for tonight. That's gonna be an interesting one, because I haven't got one at the moment, but we'll figure out something. Sorry, it's just been a
Would it be gamers or
busy. Well, that might be a good topic to start with, which is just what to do at gamers. And actually, I think actually one thing. Really quick, I want to just mention it's gone now. Let's see it. Maybe actually, let me see. Is it here? Is this one? And don't mind me. New posts. There it is. Yeah, awesome. Okay, let's go close that. And that is the one thing which. Actually was kind of cool. I'm just gonna maybe I'll bring it up. To me, it's actually quite a surprise on Facebook. Just want to bring it up real quick. And that is Michael Baker. He's one of the admins for the Star for the Battles, but in this case, he wasn't playing Starfleet Battles. He was playing Starfleet Marines, which to me is actually quite cool. Just because of you rarely hear about people playing Starfleet Marines. This is the raid on research camp Xylos.
Oh, I think I saw that. Yeah.
It's a scenario background is that the Klingon platoon raids a Federation planetary survey camp. The objective is to capture the Federation scientists for interrogation. And the Federation goal is to delay and protect the civilians long enough for evacuation. And the forces involved are Klingons, which have one infantry platoon. And one a transport insertion required to use stun settings. Kill equals stun 5 turns. Stun equals an NE. And Federation of 3 civilian units, 2 security teams, and 1 HQ unit. The special rules are that the Klingon units must beam at least 6 hexes away from any Federation unit. Civilians move toward the shuttle hexes. Objectives only, no ground support. In other words, there's no actual shuttles there. Anti-transporter coverage initially ruled as 6 hexes from any Federation unit. and physical game adjustments, coverage countered, centered on the HQ unit instead. There's like say a 6-turn limit, which is the outcome for him. Actually, was the Federation victory. Two of the three civilian teams escaped, and the Klingon raid repelled due to the time pressure and suppression, which makes sense. It's one thing. Obviously, there's a couple things that can be easily mentioned here, which is of course. Which is one, of course, Starfleet Marines Assault is the gaming system. Then another thing, so the purpose of the introductory teaching game, if I can understand, heck, I might even use it myself. Because I've actually, that's one thing I'm gonna need to do before Demons of Winter, which is reintroduce myself to Starfleet Marines. Because I have played it. 2 or 3 times. It's an interesting system in that like Anthony, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned this before. It does have reactionary movement. And this is also not the another thing to mention, of course, is that it is a not a straight out fight, you know, kill, 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 see who wins. It's a scenario where you have a goal, well, in this case, it's not combat. The goal is to get the civilian units basically off the board, you know, that might mean, separating something as simple as, you know, take just 2 security teams and then attack the 1 infantry platoon. Now, the thing is, I can't say right off the top of my head. I don't know the strengths of each when it comes to attack and defense and that kind of thing. And I've also forgotten exactly how the combat system works. That's why I need to re-familiarize myself to it. And of course, there's a time constraint. So, you know, it's a really good scenario for that, and just a showing of, you know, a lot of scenarios, whether it's in this case the Starfleet Marines or Starfleet battles. Or even Federation Commander, you know, and so forth. Actually, those are the main ones. I was going to say F&E, but F&E, it's always combat, invariably. But the idea isn't necessarily combat. It's to reach a goal, and in this case, you know, help the civilian units, the scientists, to flee. You know, that is the goal, because the scientists are important. That's why, you know, in the case of, let's say, you know, we have the convoy scenario, where you have an Orion come in and try to attack a convoy, and of course, a lot of times those kind of scenarios are time limited, because of the whole idea of as soon as the convoy gets attacked by an Orion unit, you know, or that they're going to call for help immediately, knowing that they're outgunned, which is most of the time. So therefore puts a clock on it, on the Orion, so he has to get everything that he get as much cargo or as many ships as possible and flee, or possibly even destroy the escort, which is not always that easy, of course. And then when it comes to convoys, there's always the nasty issue of Q ships. Now, that's one thing that when it comes to the online client, I never looked too deeply into, which is the whole idea of a Q-ship. And actually implementing Q-ships. Well, okay, no, we have Q-ships. It's just that we don't have the ability to do basically the tack and tell kind of thing where,
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
it's hidden. You don't know if some a regular large freighter versus a large Q ship,
Until you have a reveal
Yep.
because of the tack intel rules, or somebody saying, "Well, I'm gonna reveal this is a Q ship because I'm alpha striking you with it." Yeah.
Right. Because in theory, you can do it by kind of adding a note or designator or something in secret that can be revealed later, and then add the Q ship in place of that ship, in the client. But no, it's not like you can put a Q ship and then hide it, have it so it doesn't show up as a Q ship, it shows up as a large freighter, unfortunately. But anyway, I just wanted to, I just saw this today, actually that's a few minutes ago when it comes to Starfleet Marines. And since we so rarely actually get to see anything when it comes to Starfleet Marines and people playing Starfleet Marines. I don't think. Let me just do a quick check here. Okay. Just curious. There actually is a Starfleet Marines. And question: am I following? Am I? Oh yeah, I did join this one. Oh, yeah, actually, he did post it here too. Don't mind me. I hate when it's, the most relevant. It's like, no, I don't most relevant. I want the newest posts. Okay, there's not much posting here except for Gene posted about the sales, including one which just expired. For those of you that listen to the news portion. Just a note about that the sale is done, it completed on January 4th, and now it's January 8th, so if you didn't take advantage of it, sorry. I did get things out as quickly as possible. Actually, which brings me up to what I did last weekend, which actually was I was camping this last weekend, and that was a challenge actually to get the videos up. Wow, what a challenge! Because of I'm out in the upper part of the Chesapeake Bay, in a place called Elk Neck Park. And to say the very least, Elk Neck Park, at least where the campsites are, you ain't got nothing. You don't have much telephone reception. You got enough to watch things. Like you can watch YouTube videos and so forth. But you don't, so that's fine. Uploading, that's a different story. I finally had what I had to do actually was, fortunately, I found a spot near their boat ramps. The boat ramps are actually closed, but the parking lot's open, and they have a nice trail there, which I did a nice little walk on the trail. And I had my truck there, and I was driving around, and I noticed that, hey, I can get four bars here. So what I did actually was I drove back to camp, put my laptop into the truck, went back to the parking lot, and I actually, fortunately, I brought my Jackery with me, so I could actually charge the laptop, which was down to like 32% by that time, while it was on, actually down to 20%, 22%. But anyway, and while I was basically, I sat in the truck for over an hour or more, uploading, you know, using my phone as a hotspot to upload the videos to YouTube on Saturday so that people could hopefully get an opportunity to, if they watched the video on time, and also, of course, it's on the podcast feed, listen to the podcast, they should be able to actually take advantage of the sale. So I'm being honest with myself, which is, I know we're not a huge community here, you know, who listen to the podcast or watch the YouTube videos, but I wanted to do my best to get that out the door, because obviously it started on the 24th. Well, I didn't have a podcast on the 25th, so no, that, sorry, you know, I don't think I even looked at the Facebook page, you know, for a while when it comes to that, you know, and it's not something that comes easily into my feed. But so anyway, hope those who want to take advantage of it could take advantage of it. You know, I did my best to announce it to those people who are part of this small community. But anyhow, yeah, so, you know, obviously, when getting back to gamers, I'm pretty sure I already decided on two when it comes to live streaming. Now, which is, of course, Starfleet Marines, which is what we were just talking about there, talking about here, and also Federation Commander, which I need, obviously, I'm going to make sure I have all the pieces that I need to show how to play, you know, Federation Commander, which is, I think, pretty cool. One thing, actually, just a quick mention of this. I'm not sure at this moment in time if it makes a difference or not. And that is, I changed it so that basically anyone who logs in to the client, you know, SFU online client, has free access to the SFB cadet rooms, you know, and I said, I'm not sure if that makes a difference or not, because I don't know what it would be like without that. So that if it makes a difference, you know, great. If it doesn't, well. But I will hopefully look into that this weekend. And if it does definitely makes a difference, then I'll make a big announcement. I'll post it on Facebook and the discussion board, and also I'll send a mailing out on that. What I'm hoping is to, you know, I know I thought this before, and I said I was going to do it. I think I said I was going to do it, but definitely I more and more that I think about it, I think it's a good idea, and I definitely need to spend the time and effort to move forward with it. Which is, I know that one of the things that was brought up in the survey was that, okay, you need more tutorials. To me, the big thing with tutorials is that if people need tutorials, it'd be really helpful for me to know, okay, what are you looking for? Because I already did create some tutorials. Though I think the one thing I might need to do, down the bottom, maybe FAQ. Yeah, there it is.
Like a tutorial sequencing script? Or you
Yeah,
say a
I got a few
tutorial
movies
course?
here, which are older, on the website, and that's one thing actually I should do is actually add the U links to the YouTube lists. Playlists for it when it comes to how to use the client. I did a bunch of them. There's also some tips and tricks on how to use the client. The one of them that I think people really enjoy for those people who have been playing with the client for years is if you ever. Give me a sec here. Da, da, da. He's still online. Well, I'm gonna have to bounce him. Okay. If you ever brought up the client and brought up the game control window, and what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna bring it up so that people can see it. That is this window here. You'll see this. F1 through F12. Now, and if you notice, have this. That's a key, Shift, Alt, and Alt, Shift. So there is approximately 48 different combinations, which if you actually have 48 different combinations. Used every single one. I'd be shocked. What these are, they're selection groups. So the idea is that you can have a number of units here. You can select them. In this case, you hit set. You have the checkbox, hit set, and then whatever. Once you do, then you click on what key you want to do, and now. And also, it's regular, just key, that's F1, F2, blah, blah, blah. Shift key, which is like Shift F1, Shift F2. Alt, which is Alt, or in the case of Mac, Option, F1, F2, blah, blah, blah. An Alt Shift, which is, again, F, whatever. But they're supposed to be the function keys. And those function keys act as of when you press, after you set it, and then you turn it off. You can either press the buttons up here, or you actually can press the keys on your keyboard so that you can, it's a selection group. So if you press that key or press this one, press the buttons here, it will actually select that bunch of humans. So at any point in time, you can actually have what's called a selection group, and then you can move do an action with all those units, mainly just moving at the moment. You can do that action. I forget if the EW actually sets it does it for all the ships. I'd have to take a look-see on that. But that was one of those things that people really appreciated, that did a quick tutorial about, which was the selection groups. There's actually a separate video which I did on YouTube for that. It's on a different account when it comes to Google. It's not my sfuoncall.com, at gmail.com account. It's my the one I use for business things, basically client and that kind of thing, which is theandromedan@gmail.com. I don't expect anyone to send me email, please. If you're for this podcast, please send it to sfuoncall@gmail.com. The one I created, that's one I keep forgetting to do, which is looking to see if there's a one thing that YouTube added a little while ago is in the case of sfuoncall. Since I don't have enough followers, I'm not been on long enough, or don't have enough people following me, following the channel. Then, well, I've been there long enough. It's just that I have not enough people following my channel. I can't have a custom URL. You say YouTube.com/whatever. I can't get that. But a few years ago, one thing that YouTube did do is they actually kind of did a way of having hot, a way of doing it, but it's not a custom URL. It's YouTube.com/, and then you use an at symbol, and then you have a custom URL, a custom name. And for example, for YouTube, for when it comes to SFU on call, what you can do is you can go to youtube.com/@SFU on call, and I'll bring up Starfleet Universe on call. I'll bring up my channel, which is really wonderful. Yes, and it might be a good idea to start creating thumbnails, because invariably the thumbnail they pick is of my face, which might be scary for some people.
Well, it's basically from one spot in your video,
Yeah,
so there you go.
I know, and currently I haven't spent the time to actually go and select a certain image or even create an image, because in theory the thumbnail for a YouTube video does not have to be from the video itself,
Correct.
which is it's almost like clickbait. You can have it so it's really like a clickbait.
You could
So.
take an image of your the big logo thing and just have that as a few frames of the beginning of your video and select that as your thumbnail. That would be the easiest way to be consistent with it if you don't like how it looked the other way.
Right.
Because otherwise you're basically going to have to just pick a frame or make a separate thumbnail to
Right,
use.
or
Yada
upload a
yada.
separate thumbnail, yeah. Which I have to, actually, that's one thing I really should look into, which is a little more about YouTube. And here's always the gotcha for me. And that is, when it comes to YouTube, it's not like I'm trying to get a huge following on YouTube. Actually, let me do it real quick. Let me bring it my own self, which is okay. So community. Is that where I can find them? Interesting. Anyway, okay, dashboard. That's it. Yeah, my current on my dashboard, my current subscribers is 67, which is heck. My daughter has more than I do. Heck, I think my wife has many more subscribers to her YouTube channel than I do. And she hasn't had as much, but of course, she's trying to get views, trying to up that so she can actually put forth the information that she has. Mine's just basically a video podcast of my audio podcast. There's a few, as I've said multiple times. That is, there's only a few people, a few of the podcasts that I do that I really, it's one of those things that you really, really should be watching the video on the video YouTube video for instead of listening on the podcast, because I that's and that's and those are usually evaluating games, you know, going through one of the games I've played, which that's one thing that I'm very disappointed in, which is that Justin and I weren't able to get together while I was on my winter break, because of first, I was available, but he wasn't, and then it happens that then he was available, and then
But
I
you weren't.
wasn't, because there's only one day which we both were available, and I wasn't checking email early enough, i.e., the night before, and this was like New Year's Eve, is when I would have to check it, and really looking at my emails on New Year's Eve was not exactly my top priority at that moment in
No, you
time,
and your reasonable scheduling stuff.
right? So, it happened, and I'm disappointed in that we weren't able to get it started. But those things happen. I'm hoping sometime I will actually get to play at least one turn. How many months has it been?
Don't know. I wasn't really tracking it. Is this for a current tournament? Okey-dokey then.
It's current 500 PvP tournament. That impressions click through rate. I'm not sure what that means. People are choosing to watch the video as often as your other videos. The click through rate
Oh.
is looking good.
Yeah.
At
Others,
1.3%.
they click it and they actually watch it.
Yeah. Now this to me is pretty bad.
It might be something where it comes up in the feed, you
Might.
know, where you have all those thumbnails, and whether you rest your thing on it and then you rest your cursor on it, and whether or not you go through and actually watch the video versus just scrolling over and like ignoring it. So,
Bring that up, what the heck?
just guessing on that part.
Understood.
I still wanna, I want to do that one informational video. I just haven't gotten to it yet. Kind of depressed with everything. Hey, speaking of gamer stuff, I did post on Facebook that I'm considering trimming off the Monday part of gamers for pure lack of like attendance versus cost. Because like, you know, that's going to knock like $400 off of the weekend cost. And like the last two or three times I don't think we've gotten to double digits on Monday. And I even have that one priced at like half the price of the other day for like, you know, Saturday and Sunday are like $20 each, and Monday is only $10. But the vast majority of people come Saturday and Sunday, or Saturday or Sunday, with only a handful of people being there on Monday. And it's like we've had one response on the Facebook thread that I saw before we started talking tonight. And that was somebody who actually kind of likes having the Monday thing because she's doing a whole bunch of other stuff on Saturday and Sunday. And that's a nice, relaxing day for like some of the GMs to like just chill out and do something other than teach
Right,
stuff.
or running something.
Yeah, and it's just a chill day for doing stuff. Like, yeah, I got to play a few interesting games last time on Monday, but also, I can't really justify the cost for that part at the moment when I'm homeless, basically.
Right.
So it just kind of blows. We're Saturday and Sunday are still going to go on. I talked to the venue about it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a deadline to tell them about it, whether I want to cut it or not, so they can adjust their schedule and open that up for somebody else if somebody else wants to rent it. But I put that up there for discussion on Facebook. So please, if you feel like throwing 2 cents in on that, go for it. I know you're usually not there on Mondays.
Right.
But there it is. I mean, there have been a lot of people that have mentioned cutting it over the last few years. I've been kind of reluctant to do it simply because it's part of the 3-day weekend thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't gotten much over 10 people on a Monday for the whole of the day in a few years, ever since COVID. So, I mean, COVID, I think, was the largest calling of people out of our event that we've had. Because pre-COVID, we were having anywhere from 80 to 110 people on a given weekend with, you know, a mix of paid and unpaid mm-hmm. and GMs and volunteers. But generally, you know, we were making our break-even point and breaking even for the year on it. But lately, it's like ever since we came back from the COVID lockdown, you know, the best we've had was in the 75-80 range. And it's just been kind of going downhill from there because a lot of people just, they're not coming out for face-to-face gaming, at least not for this event. So,
mm-hmm.
So there it is. I mean, I can't see it as a sustainable thing. Like, you know, if I was in an apartment right now, paying half of what I'm paying to live in this hotel, I would eat the cost for Monday just to have it for the handful of people that want to be there that have been there for the other 2 days and have supported the event over the years. And just to have that extra private time, well, semi-private, it's a public event, but,
right.
You know, that extra quietish time with them chilling out and doing some games during the day there. But I can't really see doing that. I can't see justifying the cost. You know, now, if, on the other hand, 5 or 6 people on the forum say, no, no, I want Monday. And, you know, I'm willing to kick in to make Monday happen. You know, 10 people, they throw in, you know, what, you know, $40 each to hit the $400 mark to pay the venue for the place for that day, which is the cheapest of the 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be perfectly fine with that. But on the other hand, I wouldn't want to ask somebody to pay 4 times what the normal rate is for right. that day. I just can't see doing it. I can't justify that part at the moment. You know, to me, I like the event for the people. But on the other hand, you know, it's just one of those, it's a buying time. So, but the event's still going to go on.
Right, right. Which is always good to hear.
I mean, you know, I would like to have your list because then I could go on to other Starfleet Battles threads on Facebook and say, hey, this guy's running this stuff at this point in time. Would you guys like to come up from Baltimore and play or do something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, would you guys like to run a scenario up here? Yeah. But then again, who knows? Like I said, I've been trying to get people to come to it for ages for SFP, and it's like, we've had some, but yep. Most of the people that have come up have moved out of the area. And I guess I can't really compete with people's home games, because why would they want to come out to our event to do something special and different when they can just do what, you know, whatever they want in their home game or at their local game store? So I'm feeling a little bit down about all that stuff at the moment.
Understood.
But on the other hand, you know, it's about 5 weeks away. And, you know, maybe we'll get a whole bunch of people all of a sudden. I don't know. Not counting on it. Oh, we did have some good news. The D&D people are going to be there.
Cool.
They just haven't updated their information yet. Apparently, they're having some issues with getting, like, a lot of interest going because of a thing in the D&D universe world where they're looking at the, if you know how their structure went, what it was based off of originally.
Right.
Where they had they were part of a massive world thing that was run by the people that own the D&D IP.
Right.
And when the people sold that, the next batch of people that owned it said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. And then these guys decided they were going to continue with it anyways.
Right.
Well, now apparently the people who own the D&D IP are coming out with a, you know, a 2.0 version and saying we're going to run another collective world thing like that again. And that is what actually hurt them this summer, because everybody is like waiting to see what the big company is going to put out.
Right.
And they're not committing. So, whereas on the other hand, I'm looking at this going, could you just run something?
Yeah. Well,
I haven't actually made any suggestions to them, but, you know, maybe it would be a good time where if you can't get the commitment to that, you could run like a adaptation of some classic old modules over the course of the weekend just to go into nostalgia land. Because remember, like, the earliest modules that you have for the D&D thing, where they have like all the, you know, the DM layout for the game, is those were actually made for tournament play at conventions, not for home play as part of a campaign where you take however long you want to finish them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you could easily run some of those, like, Against the Giant series as a classic thing in a convention environment where you're being competitive. And actually, a lot of those really super early ones have that, they hit that transitional period of D&D going from basically semi-wargame-ish to role-playing kind of thing. So, but that's just me. I'm getting nostalgic there.
That's fine.
So, yeah, I mean, please give me a text list of what you want me to post on the events page, and then I'll go and, you know, say hi to some of these other D&D groups. Or, I'm sorry, not D&D groups, but actually some of the, well, that's what I intended to do when I saw how bad their attendance had dropped this summer. I was looking at trying to advertise for them, but now they're saying that it's not really, from what I see, it's not really something I could help them that much with, because the thing that they do is being hampered by the main company not coming out with what they're doing.
Right, right. It's all up in the air.
Yeah,
which hurts everything. That it's just like corporations, you know, themselves, they don't want to have unknowns. You know, they want to know, okay, this is the rules and this is how things are. It might suck, but we know what we're dealing with versus the unknown, you know.
Well, no, that's just taking them fucking forever.
Right. All right. It's
because they're corporate people that don't care about the impact that this has on people like this, because people like this were unsupported by them. So it's not costing the corporation any money. It's just, hey, we're going to do this thing again. And it's like, whenever they get it done is when they get it done, because that's their schedule. And that's basically that. So they have absolutely no dog in the fight of how this affects, you know, us. Or the only thing they would care about is, will it affect their bottom line? And if the answer is, yeah, you know how that works.
Yeah.
I think. So it's not affecting their bottom line.
Right. At the moment, it's not affecting the bottom. Obviously, the big question is going to be if they actually have to put resources towards, you know, they're not running the events, but obviously support the inputting, you know, the input and output from the results of the different individual events, if it, you know, and how that's all integrated and so forth. I think that's going to cost them
and all that
time and resources.
And all that's irrelevant. And all that's irrelevant to us.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, what if they just don't?
Right.
What if it turns out to be a nothing burger?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So if I was the D&D people, I would tell them, if the people who are just waiting or on the fence and waiting, I'd say, don't, you know, they announce it, but did they announce when they're going to have it? No. Question is, will they ever have it? They might look at it corporately and go, you know, it's not worth our time. It's not worth the money that we're getting, the expense we're actually put forward in it. And but they'll quietly never announce that, oh, yeah, we've dropped the whole idea.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we're overthinking it on their part. So I'm not even going to consider that they'll have anything done at a particular point in time.
Right.
I'm thinking about going back and telling our D&D guys, hey, look, they're going to put her around and do this on their own schedule. Why don't you guys just do something? And that something could be, why not just run a bunch of classic D&D modules or something?
Right. If you don't want
to run a tournament.
Right. If you don't want to put forward
run an old school D&D tournament, or, you know, take what you already have and just run with it anyways, and tell your people, hey, look, we don't know when they're going to get it done. We're just going to push on.
Exactly. Exactly. That's why if I was them, I keep moving forward. Okay. Just keep don't go in the system until the day that they actually announce something. I mean hard. Okay. This is when it's starting. This is what you can do to sign up and so forth. It's a big nothing burger.
Yeah. Well, the flip side of all that is, like, if the D&D people just en masse stopped coming out for our event, well, it's basically over.
Yeah.
And then when the big company gets their shit together and says, okay, here's what we're doing. We're actually doing X, or we're not doing X. So the D&D people decide to go and do something else. Well, at that point, it doesn't do any good if they don't have a venue for it. They have one less venue.
I would also say that.
Or
no.
Or they have a lot less people coming out for them because they spend 6 months or a year waiting for the people that own the IP to get off their butts and do something. But I'm not following that closely, so I don't know the details on
understood
when they might have their stuff together.
Understood.
I was going to suggest a good move for most players would be to either A, vote for their wallet with their wallets by not buying things until like they're fully fleshed out. But the biggest one that I saw anyway was moving to systems that or like tabletop systems that tended to respect player agency a bit more. So
yeah, well, the problem like with GURPS. That is this. The problem with that is this. These guys are dead set on doing it through the D&D IP.
I see.
That and they're a significantly large sized group. There's, you know, their heyday was 40 people, which in a small event like ours is huge. And they've gone down to 20 something, between 20 and 30, depending on summer or winter. But that's still a huge chunk of our paying off the venue for the space.
Mm-hmm.
And they started with what they did was they were part of the Living Greyhawk world like over a decade ago. And when support for that was pulled, they went and they continued using the D&D engine. But they continued the world thing themselves under the title of War Duke Press. So their group is going to use the latest version of official D&D, whatever it is. They made the switch every single time over the last, 14, 15 years that they've been coming to the event, Paul? Something like that? Yep. They were out there in our, they started coming on our third event when we were at the Pembroke, the Pembroke Community Center. So that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So come hell or high water, basically.
Yeah. And come hell or high water, they're not going to walk away from D&D unless the people that own D&D just totally fold it 100%. And even then they'd probably either use the last version that was published or pick a version and use it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it was up to me, I'd tell them just use Rollmaster and do your own damn thing. but they're very set in that universe. So,
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, the GURPS system is very flexible and very much like the player has control, but it does put more agency on the DM to set up the world and design the systems, because it gives systems, but it doesn't design the world. You got to design the world. So I can see why.
That's exactly what they were doing for the longest time, for about the last 8-9 something years. They've been continuing the Living Greyhawk feedback loop kind of world thing on their own as a group with a core group of DMs and, you know, little world guidance set up. They have their own way of doing it. So
as long as they're happy.
Yeah, I'm not in their decision making loop. So there is that. But it does affect us, our group, the overall event. So hopefully their situation will change in a positive manner soon.
Yeah, unfortunately. Come up and
run some SFB or some FedCom or something.
I unfortunately will have to go to bed soon. And okay. I don't think it would be great for you guys to play with me. I still very much just read the basic rules, and I'm not even sure if I fully got them. So if I play with anybody, it would have to be very limited.
Well, that's part of what the event is like. So, you know, they do things there to teach too.
Yeah, and this in real life event.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I also don't have anybody near me who plays SFB.
Where do you live?
Michigan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. I already looked. I looked, and everybody lives pretty far. I think the closest I found was somewhere down in Ohio. It's like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive.
Do you have like gaming shops in the area?
We do. The closest one. I did a loop around. There were like three major gaming shops. Most of them will do Warhammer 40K. And if the gaming shop owner or one of the employees wants to push a game, they'll tend to hold events for that. So like one of the gaming shops I went to, they do Warhammer 40K, but one of the employees was pushing some World War II plane fighting game, so they also ran that. And even the historic ones, the closest historic based one, more simulation basically, was about an hour away from me, and their community is very much doing Bolt Action, which is a World War II style tabletop.
Yeah.
No one really does.
Try forming a battle group like Battle Group Michigan or something. Battle Group My Town.
I'll wait till I learn the basic Captain's Edition book first, and then I'll see about that.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is my only opponent right now. And we've been trying to get a game going for like 3 months, and we haven't been able to get it going because schoolwork and work.
Okay. So that was the main thing about gamers, Paul, that I had. But yeah, give me your schedule so I can tell people.
Okay, we'll do. We'll do.
Thank you. And after we're done, I had some good news on the family front if you want to hear it.
Yep, I'd love to hear good news. Good news is always good to hear.
Thanks.
You want me to drop?
No. You're going to bed. Good night.
No, I was saying, do you want me to drop? Because he's going to talk about family stuff.
No. We're still doing the podcast.
I didn't know you were actually podcasting.
This is actually being recorded. And
surprise,
and streamed live over to Twitch. So that's why it's called SFU on call stream.
he does the podcasting every like 9:30-ish, 9:45 on Thursday night, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
For about an hour and a half.
Yep.
I did not mean to butt in then, and I apologize.
Oh, no. We want people to join in.
Pretty much open season.
Yeah.
I mean, if Paul decides he doesn't want somebody in there, he's got the boot button.
Yeah, I am the admin, so I can go, okay, goodbye.
Yeah, you're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, yeah, it's like, if you have questions about SFB or the SFU, this is the place to come ask about it.
Not a comment so much as maybe a suggestion. I personally, as someone who's new to SFB, I have found it very difficult to find resources that kind of bring people in a more quote modern way. And I realize SFB is an old game. Was it 1979? I think it was. It came out.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, a lot of people, including myself, sometimes if we're stuck on a rule, the first thought isn't a forum, it's to go on YouTube. And YouTube resources are very light. And I think part of that has to do, at least for me, when I was reading the book, I realized that, you know, it's very unclear what you can and cannot talk about without breaking copyright. And it does make it harder for people to make content. So the little content I did find was all based around the cadet version. Which makes sense,
right? The whole idea of the cadet version is to introduce people in a way and actually help them. The idea of the cadet training manual was to introduce people to Starfleet Battles and help them to learn how to play Starfleet Battles without giving them, say, here, here's your rule book.
Right.
Because you're going through the basic rules. Back in the day, when I learned how to play Starfleet Battles, that's how you learned. Is actually you learned the basic rules first. That, and that was before they introduced the cadet training manual. So that's why I'm willing to bet that most of your questions you're going to find answered are going to be there. Obviously, if people want to do that, if they want to send me questions, so you want me to go through, have any questions when it comes to Starfleet Battles, I'd be happy to answer them. Here and then have them posted up on YouTube, possibly even, if we get enough of that content, maybe start creating shorts of answering Starfleet Battles questions, you know?
That sounds great. Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the confusion for me, for example, was around like energy allocation and stuff. But mm-hmm. I saw, for example, recently in the rules and questions that there was some movement stuff as well. So, but again, the question is, how much can you teach online without basically giving away the rule book? Which I understand I understand that dilemma when it comes to a tabletop game.
Well, teaching when it comes, I would not worry about that the IP stuff. The only time you have to worry about IP is if you actually go, here's a copy of the rules. Then right. You've got an issue. But everything else, discussing the rules, saying what they talking about what they say and what they mean, that's fine, because...
Like, I am stuck on this part, I have a question.
Right.
How does this
work? Why? Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And as I said, if you want to come here and ask me questions, I'd be happy to spend some time out of the podcast just to answer questions about Starfleet Battles, the rules of Starfleet Battles.
Sounds awesome. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay. Well, you said you were going to go to bed, so I'll let you go to bed then.
Yeah, I will head off.
Okay.
Talk to you later. Right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, have a good night.
Nice talking to you. Okay. Have a good one.
I'll put that out there to all the rest of you podcasting people. If you have a question about Federation Commander, any of the rules of Federation Commander, any of the rules of Starfleet Battle that you don't want to answer, ask on the discussion board, don't want to ask on the Federation Commander board, or don't want
to... If he's that new, he might not even know about the discussion board.
Right.
Maybe dedicate next week's podcast to here's a whole bunch of informational resources for new players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as I mentioned, I realized that on my SFB Online, the tutorials page that is available, it's not prominent on if you go to the FAQ page, which the way to get to the FAQ page, you have to go to the very bottom of the first page, and then there's a little link called FAQ, frequently asked questions. I know this is kind of old school idea.
You didn't see how badly I rolled my eyes.
But that's it. There's actually one of the questions: are there any tutorials on it? And say, yeah, there are. That tutorials page needs to be updated because it currently only has a few of the ones I posted up before I started posting things up on YouTube. So they're kind of old. So I know I need to add the links to the YouTube, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. Yeah. But yeah, again,
have you considered this? This is what I was trying to get to a while ago. I guess I didn't get there in the right way, but when we play, whether it's EVE or WoW or insert new whatever game, they have tutorials built into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Have you considered the possibility of an app that opens the game and says, here's how you play the game step by step. Here's how you use the app step by step. As opposed to having somebody go to a tutorial and watch a tutorial video. So it's kind of more of a hands-on thing. Like you could say tutorial mode on, tutorial mode off, and if you turn it on, it basically runs a separate app, and that app says, where do you want to begin? And it's like, or do you have a question, type it in the help thing and see if it falls under a, your something that's already in your fact page, so to speak. That was just kind of a thought. I know it would take probably some development time.
Oh, it'd take a lot of development time. If you have it so that...
But once you have the thing, you could say, okay, here's a script for that app to run that shows how do you fill out an EA? How do you use the counters? How do you move multiple pieces in one shot? How do you do this, that, and the other? How do you do call for fire? You know, how do you use the app thing? What resources are currently available? Okay, well, here's the BBS. If you have a question you can't find in our FAQ, here's, some of whatever resources available. So, random thought. So there you go, food for thought. What else? I think I've got said. I think I've said what I needed to say about gamers.
Yep. Yep.
It's 5 weeks away, everybody. Please sign
yep.
up for it.
Yep. I'll give you the list this weekend, I promise.
And if you're listening and happen to be like within a 2 or 3 hour drive, we are not that far away.
Yep.
Love to have some people come up and like do like larger events on bigger table space than you might normally do on a regular weekend. It is the 14th, 15th, and possibly 16th of February. The 16th part is up in the air at the moment. So there's that. Which is President's Day weekend, by the way.
Right.
For those of you keeping track. The gamers thing is the 3-day weekend, President's Day in the winter, and Labor Day weekend in the summer. Although I'm potentially flipping off Monday for this winter. So that's about all I got. I mean, okay.
Well, we'll wrap up.
Not exactly a half full, happy, tearful font of happiness right now.
Understood. That's fine. Okay. Well,
gamers makes people feel better, though.
Understood. Okay. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there. It's getting late, and I actually do have to wake up bright and early. I'm back to work, so I have to wake up bright and early. So anyway, Doug, you have a good night.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Okay.
So, obviously, a nice little discussion there, talking about gamers and D&D, and just the whole... I guess it kind of wraps up into when it comes to gaming companies and just have let people know exactly what's going on and can't just leave things up in the air, it's always helpful. And again, one thing I'm just going to mention here now before I forget. Because I know I was bringing it up and then it got sidetracked, which is I hopefully can start working on. I know the best way of actually helping people to actually know how to use the client is actually have an integrated solution to that, which is not exactly easy, no matter what you do. You know, I don't think Unity or any other gaming engines have that stuff built into them on how to use it, because invariably you'll, I looked at Unity a while back, and one thing about Unity is that, you know, people tell you, oh, you don't want to do it in Unity. And well, okay, now you have to create your own windowing system by yourself, from scratch. It's not like something that's already there, you know, like your operating system, you know, whatever. But anyhow, yeah, I want to create tutorials for playing SFB Cadet. And my hope and dream is to go through the scenarios in, you know, for the Cadet training manual, but using the client and teaching people how to play Starfleet Battles using the Cadet training manual. And in addition, at the same time, helping people to learn how to use the client. So with that, I am Paul Franz. I'd have bid you a good night.